Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing today? It's a beautiful day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it, for He has made us glad. I am live right now on www.wwgh1071.com, and I'm live right now on that TuneIn app. And guess what? It's on your TVs. If you have smart TVs, it's along with your other apps. And you can get us on that TuneIn at whatever time I'm going to be on, like 10:15 or 11:15. I'm live on your TV. I think that is so neat.
That is neat. I didn't know that.
It is. Okay, and not only that, I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would just like to be a part of the show, you are more than welcome to call 740-383-9944. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener or supporter, thank you so very much for your love and for your support. Okay, and along with all of you, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street in Marion, Ohio. Number there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. Next will take place October the 18th, beginning at 12 noon to 2 p.m. Cheryl Lee, the coordinator for Child Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, faith-based after-school programs. We are still asking people to lift her up in prayer for health issues. Continue to pray for me and my health issues and anyone else you may needs prayer. Lift them up, whether it's a family member, church member, just in your passing. Sometimes people will just, you'll meet people that are having health issues, and we are helpers one to another. So let us lift up those that need healing touches or whatever they may be going through. Okay, I like to start my show off with the thought for today, and the thought for today is called thinking too much. Do you ever think too much? Sometimes I do. You ever get up in the middle of the night and have a thought on your mind and then you can't go back to sleep? That's terrible.
More than once.
Isn't that terrible? You're like, darn, I can't go back to sleep. Now what, right?
Now what? Get up. That's what I do.
Right. So this is titled, Thinking Too Much. The biggest disease of the mind is overthinking, especially too much. Thinking about others, what they did, what they should do, what they should have done, what they said, what you wish they had said, why they spoke at all. All of these rob the mind of its inherent serenity. Thinking too much is like eating too much. The heaviness makes it impossible to remain light and flexible. We get stuck on little things, and gradually the little things become huge things, which we cannot shake off. Often when we think too much, we fantasize and overreact. Thus, we create negative feelings. To ease the burden of overthinking, try grounding yourself in the present moment through meditation, mindfulness, a simple practice of pausing, taking a deep breath, and observing your surroundings can help break the cycle of excessive thoughts. Remember, the key to mental serenity lies in steering your attention away from the whirlpool of what ifs and focusing on the what is. Now, that's a good thought, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Don't worry about the what ifs. Just think about what is. And there's enough for us to be concerned about.
Yeah, there sure is.
All right. Sure. I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, Fred Malone, the chairman of the Marion County Historical Society. How you doing, Fred?
I'm doing great. Couldn't do any better. It's finally fall.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and it's moving so fast.
We went to dinner yesterday down at Ashley, and got up to leave, and the girl come running after me. She says, "You forgot your coat." And I said, "Yeah, I can't get used to it being cold yet, that I'm going to have to wear a coat." You know, so.
But did you see that big harvest moon last
night? I did. Wasn't that gorgeous? Ooh, it really was. Yes. Yeah. At first, when it came up, it was like peeking through the tree in front of my house, and so I had to move a little bit over to get a perfect view of it. But it was absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah, it takes your breath away, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does, really, for sure. Well, listen, before we start, I did want to mention, and I was going to mention it last show, but I got in here so late, I completely slipped my mind. But last month when I was here, I'd asked for prayers for our friend David Reynolds, who was undergoing open heart surgery. And I just wanted to thank everyone again for their thoughts and their prayers, because he pulled through fine.
Well, great.
Ended up doing a double bypass and a whole valve replacement.
Wow, that was a lot.
It was a lot. He was in the hospital for about a week, is home now, and actually they are planning to come down at the end of the month to spend a few days with us. So hopefully that will continue to happen. Texted us the other day and said he was coming along well. He said it's taking a little more time than I anticipated it would.
Sure.
He said they're going to come down like the 25th, the weekend of the 25th. He said it may take us a little longer to get there than normal. He said because the doctor suggested like every 45 minutes to an hour we stop and I get out and move around rest a little bit. Then get back in the car, and go another hour. So it takes them about 3 hours to get down here from up in the Youngstown area where they're from. So, but anyway, I thank you, and I thank all those listeners that had David in their thoughts that day, because divine intervention was there.
Amen.
So,
That's what matters.
Okay. Since it's playoff time.
Yeah.
Baseball playoff time. I thought I would start with a little article that just came in the Mohawk Newsletter. And I've mentioned this before. A lot of people know I'm a member of the Mohawk Historical Society, which is up in Sycamore, which takes in actually three different counties, because the Mohawk School District is in Crawford County, Wyandotte County, and Seneca County. And our Historical Society, of which I am a charter member, I think we're probably in close to our 35th or 40th year. We put out a newsletter quarterly that goes out to all of our membership, which, by the way, right now is just under 400 members, and we have membership in I think 42 or 43 states now.
Okay.
People that grew up in the Sycamore District moved away, but still are members of our Historical Society. And so this article was in the latest newsletter that just came, and the title is the article, Heard Around the Pickle Barrel.
Okay.
And Kim usually has something in there that is titled Heard Around the Pickle Barrel. But this particular occurrence was on September the 23rd of 1908, and it's called Merkel's Boner. Now, for those of you that do not know, a boner is a real dumb mistake you did. Something stupid that you did, right? So the Giants and the Cubs were playing in a critical game. They were tied atop the National League standings with less than 2 weeks left in the regular season. The game was played at the Polo Grounds. That's in New York. And the score was tied 1-1, and New York had runners on first and third. Fred Merkel, a 19-year-old rookie making his first big league start, was the guy at first. The Giants' Al Birdwell hit a single to right field, which scored the winning run. You will note the quotation marks around this, and in the article he has quotation marks around scored the winning run. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind, scored the winning run. New York fans rushed on the field to celebrate. It should be said here that in those days everyone was pretty lenient about the technicalities involved with walk-off plays. With fans all over the field, the players generally wanted to get inside as quickly as possible. An overjoyed Merkel, who at 19 was the youngest player in the National League that year, neglected to touch second base. By the customs of the day, it didn't have to be a big deal. Two future Hall of Famers, Cubs second baseman Johnny Evers and umpire Hank O'Day, turned what might have been a meaningless oversight into baseball's greatest blunder. Evers got a baseball. It might have been the right ball. It might have been a spare. He might have taken it from a fan in a bowler hat. there are many stories, and he stepped on second base. O'Day consulted with other umpires and then called Merkel out, nullifying the run. Because of darkness, the game ended in a tie. The Giants and Cubs ended up with the same record at season end, and the game had to be made up. Chicago won the makeup game to win the pennant. Merkel ended up having a long and distinguished career in the major leagues, but he never shook off Merkel's boner. He played in 5 World Series, and his team did not win any of them.
Wow.
So his error of not touching second base and Johnny Evers thinking cost him the game.
Oh, my. Thinking too much, right?
Yeah.
That's something.
Which is just what you talked about.
Yeah, I just talked about that. Thinking too much.
And people, guys that are best baseball fans, and women included, my wife is a rabid Indians fan, will remember the Tinkers to Evers to Chance, the triple play that occurred in baseball in the early years.
Yeah. Wow.
Tinkers to Evers to Chance, and Evers was the second baseman part of that play.
Wow.
He was the one that grabbed the ball. Okay. Now, it might have been the game ball that day,
right,
but it
was
a baseball. Nevertheless, cost him the game.
Right. That's too bad.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've been trying to talk about places people could go to visit, you know, with the fall weather coming up last month, and we ran out of time. So this month we got about 35 minutes. We should be able to get a few places in.
Well, good.
First, I want to talk about the Hocking Hills, where I grew up, because I know quite a bit about the area down there. That's about, depending on the way you go, a 2 to 2.5 hour drive from Marion. You can either go the back way, which is the way I always go, which you go down to Delaware, pick up Route 37, take Route 37 all the way to Lancaster. And then from Lancaster, you jump on Route 33 and go on down to Logan and Hocking Hills State Parks. Or you can go down and pick up the interstate, take 33 off of the interstate, and go to Logan that way. The nice thing about going the back way, 37, is there's so much more scenery to see.
Yes.
And, of course, this time of the year, if you go down Route 37, the leaves are generally starting to change by this time. Now, as Linda and I were just talking earlier during the break, this is kind of an unusual year.
It is.
With all that time that we went without any rain at all, and then what little rain we got here. Now, I had dumped out a little over an inch in my gauge over the rains that we got, the rains that we got. So we only got about 1.25 inches at best around here. Now, with that said, some of the areas to the south of us may have gotten a little more. Columbus, for instance, they got in the 2.75 inch range.
Okay.
And the further south you go, like into Hocking County, Perry County, Fairfield County, you know, some of those southern counties, the rainfall was even a little better. It seemed like every time we got a rain, if you looked at the radar, everything was going south of I-70.
Yeah.
So their drought possibilities down there weren't nearly as great as what we suffered up here. So we're starting to see here the leaves not actually changing, but they're just turning brown and falling off the tree.
Yeah.
Because they got rain too late. But I think there's still a very good chance that if you're looking for like a weekend trip this week, or if you're fortunate enough to be retired and have time through the week, I think you can still catch some of that changing of color by going to Southeast Ohio or Southwest Ohio, and you'll still be able to pick some of that up. And if you go down Route 37, you're going to also get a chance to, of course, once you get through Delaware, you're going to get a chance to go through Sunbury,
right,
which is a great little town. For a number of reasons. They have a lot of antique shops in Sunbury. Not as many as they used to have years ago, but there are still some there. They have a little antique mall there and some other shops. And Sunbury also has a little square.
Okay.
You've been down 37 or not.
Yes, I have.
And Sunbury has a square, still has a square, with their city building right in the middle of the square. And also, they have a Civil War statue there.
Okay.
So stop and take a look at the statue of General Rosecrans, who was actually from Sunbury.
Okay.
So they have a statue there. He was a Union general during the Civil War, very prominent individual in the Civil War. So stop and take a look at that. Read about General Rosecrans. As you go on down further south, you'll come into Johnstown. Johnstown's also a nice little community. Johnstown has a really nice little downtown for a small community. It's probably about the size of maybe Cary. Its outlying area is built up now over the years because of people migrating from Columbus and buying houses in the suburbs around Columbus. So there's their population is bigger now, but their downtown has remained quite quaint. There's a couple of nice antique shops there, a couple of great places to grab a bite to eat. Okay. They also have a square, and their city hall is right in the middle of that square. Now, they used to have, and I don't know whether they still do it or not, but they used to have over Labor Day, of course, which is past, but they used to have a nice flea market right on that square around where the city building is. And that was always kind of fun to go to. But Johnstown, nice little town. There was also a mastodon discovered there.
And there's
a mastodon, which is a prehistoric elephant.
Oh, really?
Huge, about three times the size of an elephant as we know of today, and had long, huge, long tusks. They were around when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Right.
And so one was discovered there 100 and some years ago. So there's a sign that marks that when you're going into the town. Just an interesting side note there. And of course, as you're going further south down Route 37, you'll go past Buckeye Lake, or you'll skirt Buckeye Lake. And Buckeye Lake, a man-made lake, nice little community, and they're very famous for the Millersport Sweet Corn Festival.
Okay.
Now, we've already passed the Sweet Corn Festival, but there are some really great places to hit in Millersport. There's some antique shops there. You can actually rent a boat there and go out on Buckeye Lake. You can fish there. A lot of nice scenery around the lake. Very calm, very nice place to spend a few hours and just rest. Even take a picnic lunch and have a lunch along Buckeye Lake. Going on further south, you're going to come into Lancaster.
Okay.
Now, Lancaster has a lot to see. I mean, a lot to see. Lancaster was the home of General Sherman and his brother John Sherman. General Sherman, of course, we know from his Civil War participation. One of the several generals that participated in the Civil War from Ohio. His brother John was actually a U.S. senator, and they were both born in Lancaster. Their house is there, the Sherman House is there, and it's been preserved and is a historical site, and you can tour the Sherman House. Great tour to see that. A lot of antique places downtown. One in particular, the old shoe store, is in old shoe factory, three floors, and it's full of antiques. A lot of great stuff to see there. There's also the Octagon House in downtown Lancaster.
Really?
And that is a house that's built in the shape of an octagon. It's been totally restored. Absolutely beautiful inside. A lot of the furnishings are first-rate furnishings. A very prominent family of Lancaster lived there. A number of years ago, the house fell on disrepair. It was unoccupied. It was actually in danger of being torn down. A group of local citizens got together, which happens a lot in a lot of communities, and decided to save the Octagon House. They got together, raised money, and saved the house. Yep. To that. So amen to that. Also, Lancaster is also part of the glass boom that went on in Ohio a number of years ago. Anchor Hocking, which most people should be familiar with because they've been doing dinnerware for over 100 years. If you open up your cupboards and got anything that belonged to your mom, you might find some things that were made in Anchor Hocking in Lancaster. There are also a number of other glass factories that were present in the Fairfield County area. That was because the area was plentiful in sand, which is a number one ingredient needed in the making of glass. That's also the home of the Ohio Glass Museum. Now, the Ohio Glass Museum, a beautiful, beautiful museum. It's in an old bank building down there, right on the main street, right downtown, that they've refurbished a number of years ago and turned into this museum. And it basically has a history of glass all over Ohio.
Okay.
In fact, a number of years ago, my wife and I were invited to put a display of Tiffin glass in the museum, and they featured our glass for a year down there. And so they have a room that rotates different glass factories.
Okay.
And ours, of course, was a Tiffin glass factory. There was also a glass factory, a small glass factory art glass factory, which is what Tiffin Glass was, that was in business from 1947 to 1961 in a little town of Bremen, which is also in Fairfield County, but just outside of Lancaster. And they made glass from a gentleman that was actually from Sweden. You can also see that glassware in the Ohio Glass Museum while you're there. So you're in Lancaster. You come in on Route 37, which was a beautiful drive down. You've gotten to see colors along the way because you're driving on a two-lane road down through the countryside. So then you're going to hop on Route 33, and you're going to head down 33 south. And before you get to Logan, you're going to take 180, State Route 180, off of Route 33, and you're going to head south, and you're going to run into the town of Laurelville. Now, before you get to Laurelville, right on that Route 180, you're going to come to Jack Pine's Glass Studio. Jack Pine was a Laurelville graduate, graduated from Laurelville High School, grew up in the area, and went out west to seek his fortune in glassmaking.
Okay.
And spent a number of years glass blowing in California and Colorado. About 10, 12 years ago, his mother and father, who were still living in the Laurelville area, both became ill, and Jack came home to help with his parents, like a lot of us do. Jack decided to continue on with his glassblowing business, which he has built up in Colorado and California into an internationally known business. He was blowing glass and actually sending it all over the world. He had a website, and people were ordering from the website and also coming to his studio when he was in the Colorado area. And so when he came back to Laurelville to take care of his mom and dad, he decided to get into the glassblowing business because that's what he knew. That's what he went to school for. And so he bought a piece of ground just outside of Laurelville, which already had one building on it, and turned that into the Jack Pine Studios. And Jack is there almost every day. He is now apprenticing several other glassblowers. They can come in and learn glassblowing from him. And they're making glass daily. They have a beautiful facility there. They have a great showroom where you can go in and buy glass, blown glass from, blown art glass. And what he is actually famous for are pumpkins, glass pumpkins. And each year, both in the spring and in the fall, he has an open house. And I think the one in the fall is like 3 days. And he'll have all kind of glass outside. You can watch glass blowers at work. He's also brings in other craftsmen from the area that do other things beside glass. There'll be musicians there playing music all the time. He has a lot of old-time fiddlers and you know, music of Appalachia, so to speak. A lot of bluegrass stuff, which I love. And so it's just absolutely a great festival. It's gotten so big over the last several years that now they suggest you get tickets online for it because parking is at a premium. And so, you know, you either get there real early in the morning, and you do have to have a ticket to get in. I think there might be a small charge to it, but it's well worth going to see. And then after you have visited with Jack, drive on into Laurelville, a quaint little town. When I worked in the banking business in Logan, the Laurelville was called the Salt Rock, Laurelville Salt Rock Bank. And it was an independent bank. I think it still is an independent bank. But a real good friend of mine went on to become president of that bank. And, of course, he's long since gone. But they got the greatest restaurant there.
Wow.
I mean, I'm telling you. People like to go to the bologna place, the GNR down in Waldo for the bologna.
True. So true.
Okay, and I can't remember the name of the little restaurant now because I haven't been in there for about 3 years. But they got food to die for. It's good old down-home cooking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. And the pie. I'm not a pie eater, but I love their pie. They still make what my grandmother used to call sugar cream pie.
Really?
Yeah, sugar cream pie.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Sugar
cream pie. And
is it like a custard?
Similar to a custard, but like 100 times better.
Okay.
It's not a real thick pie, maybe about an inch and a half thick, but oh my word. make your lips slap your gums. I'm telling you, it is absolutely out of this world, out of this world. So make sure you get down there and eat at that little restaurant. Then go back up 180, hit Route 33, and go on down into Logan. And when you get just before you get into the corporation limits there, you might be in the corporation limits now. They move corporation limits around so much to pick up extra tax revenue. I never worry where the corporation limit is. But you're going to see Route 93 come off of that. Route 664 come off of that. And Route 664, if you come off, if you're going south on 33, you come off on Route 664. If you go to the right, that's going to take you out to the park, out to all the Ocking Hills parks in that general way, out 664. If you turn to the left, you're going to go into downtown Logan. Before you get into downtown Logan, you're going to go down, make a little circle down around, and there's a great antique shop right there, antique mall right there, so you got to stop there. And then there's also the Dutch Family Restaurant right there. See, I'm all about food.
That's okay. Everybody
there's a Dutch, is, there's a Dutch Family Restaurant there, and if you didn't eat at the one in Laurelville, you got to start stop there. Now, this is not a chain. This is a family-owned business. As far as I know, it's been the same business for at least the last 45, 50 years. Mm. But it's down-home cooking, just like that is. Right. You get a lot of the Amish flair there in the cooking. That's why they call it the
They're
Dutch Family Restaurant.
Yeah,
absolutely. But that's a great place to eat. Then go on downtown Logan before you head out to the parks. Logan has done an excellent job in keeping the validity of the downtown. Now, I grew up in Logan. My family came from Scioto County. We moved to Logan when I was about 10 years old. And I grew up there, went to school there, went to high school there. And so it's a great little town. Got a lot of charm. They have a beautiful courthouse on the square downtown. And every year at Christmas time, I'll just throw this out, even though Christmas is still a couple months away, their courthouse is decorated beautifully, absolutely beautifully. They've got these huge figures that they put up, like the three wise men and the manger and the whole deal. It's absolutely beautiful if you're down at Christmas time. But a lot of good shopping downtown Logan. There's the Washboard Museum there. It's a museum for washboards, W-A-S-H, instead of wash, like my dad always said. It's washboards. You can tour the museum, the factory, see them making the things, and you can buy them. Mm-hmm. And it absolutely amazes me how many different connotations they've got of those washboards. And of course, there are washboard bands, you know, around where people play the washboard. That was an Appalachian thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Or Appalachia, depending on where you were, you were born and raised. But yeah, great place there. Also, a lot of great places to eat downtown. And if you go down to where the city building is, and the fire station right beside the city building, go around to the side of the fire station, which is actually the main entrance, the public entrance, and look at the big sign that's on there. When that fire station was built in 1978, because my name's on it.
Is it?
I was a city service director at the time we built that fire station.
Okay.
I was a safety service director, so my name's on that building. Make sure you see that. That's my only claim to immortality.
Right.
Is my name on that sign, as long as they don't tear the building down. So. Anyway, come back out, get on State Route 664, head out to the parks. So you got seven different parks. Old Man's Cave is, of course, the primary one that everyone wants to go to.
Okay.
And that's because it's the largest of all the parks. It has upper falls, lower falls. It has the Old Man's Face there. It has Fat Man's Squeeze there. It has a lot of beautiful color there. You're going down into several ravines. It's just an absolute gorgeous place to go. When I was a kid growing up, it was hardly anyone went there. But over the last 25, 35 years, the parks have become a big draw for the Ocking Hills area. They have a great visitor center right after you get off 664 and go down the hill. There's a nice visitor center there. Make sure you stop there because you can get information on all the parks. The one that I always like to point out that people tend to forget is Conkle's Hollow. Now, the thing with Conkle's Hollow is it has a lot of cliffs, but you're actually walking into the valley. And in the springtime, when the wildflowers are blooming, absolutely a gorgeous, gorgeous place to take a hike. I mean, it's absolutely gorgeous. But it's overlooked. It doesn't get a whole lot of people there. It's not the big showy like Ash Cave or Old Man's Cave or Cantwell Cliffs. It's not big and showy like that. But as far as the flora and the fauna, you can't beat it. In the fall, the colors are fantastic, absolutely fantastic, because everywhere you walk, there are forests and trees and flowers, and it's just, don't overlook Kunkel's Hollow if you do go there. Again, there are 7 different parks that you can visit while you're down there. You can spend a day. You can spend several days. Over the last 35, 45 years, since I graduated from high school and from college and moved up to this part of the country in 78, there have been a lot of cabins and things like that built that people can rent. And they go everywhere from bed and breakfast to cabins that you can rent and do your own cooking. Most of them now have some of them have swimming pools. They have hot tubs, everything that you could possibly want. And they do a fantastic business down there. So if you're in that area and you're going to stay for a while, look into one of those cabins or one of those areas. Now, there's also some motels down there. There's a couple of motels in town, a couple around 664, but I recommend renting the cabin. And they're all privately owned.
Right.
So you're getting a lot of personal attention along those routes. Cabins. So that's the Hocking Hill area. And we've taken in Franklin, Fairfield County as well. Oh, I'll mention, too, in Fairfield County, there are a couple of, I can't remember the exact count, but there are several covered bridges in Fairfield County, too. And if you stop at the Visitors Bureau in downtown Lancaster, you can pick up information on those covered bridges. And there's one mill that has been completely rebuilt that's absolutely gorgeous. It's like 5 stories high, and it's still an operating mill. They're grinding flour there and so forth.
Wow.
So you can see they actually buy flour there. And that's in Fairfield County yet. And a lot of small burgs around Fairfield County too, but Lancaster being the county seat is probably where you want to spend the majority of your time.
Right.
So. Okay. I'm going to move around to some other areas. And I'm going to get some of this out of the book here because I'm not as familiar with some of these places. I've been to them, but I'm not as prolific in my information as I am about where I grew up. So, Grand Rapids, this is up in Wood County. Actually, been there a few times. They have a big festival up there, I think, in late August, early September, something like that. It's already gone by, I think, now. But this is a Wood County village of fewer than 1,000 residents. Was known as Gilead back when boats traversed the Miami and Erie Canal. By the way, the Miami and Erie Canal does go right through Grand Rapids.
Really?
So you can actually walk down and see the canal. And when they're having this festival there, there's a lot of stuff going on the canal. I don't think they have canal boat anymore. But there's a lot of activities down there. A lot of great food at that festival, too. They're doing, like, outside, they're making apple butter, and the smells, you know, are absolutely great. A lot of, like, bratwurst and things like that being grilled outside.
Oh, that sounds so
corn
good.
On the cob, all that kind of stuff. So take that in
bratwurst
if you happen to go during that festival. But even if you don't, great place to go. The village, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. It was renamed in 1868 to the Village of Grand Rapids. It offers a mix of small shops, restaurants along Front Street. Make sure you head to the Village Orchard for gifts or just for the shop or clothing. The Toledo's Canal Metro Parks experience is right in that area too, and there's a lot of stuff going on. They're trying to redo a reproduction of a mule-drawn canal boat.
Okay.
So I don't know whether they have that finished yet or not, but they were working on it in the spring of the year. Granville, should have mentioned that. If you're taking Route 37 down to Lancaster, you'll notice on Route 37, when you make your turn to head towards Lancaster, you're going to go over a short time on 161. Granville just lies to your left before you turn to the right to head to Lancaster. Formed as a planned community by New England settlers in 1805, this charming village is almost as old as Ohio itself. It looks very much like a New England town, like a Vermont or you know, one of those towns you might see over there, simply because it was settled by people from the New England area. It's also the home of Denison University. Okay. Denison University is a small liberal arts college. A couple of their noted alumni, Steve Carell, who used to be on that show called The Office.
Oh, yeah.
And also Jennifer Garner, who does a lot of, she was a model and does a lot of commercials on TV for one of the credit cards. I forget which one. Both alums from there. The community is around 6,000 residents. It sits below the Hilltop campus. So the actual Denison College sits way up on top of the hill. And as you're coming along 37 and 161, which run together there for a while before 37 finally splits off and heads towards Lancaster, if you look off to your left, you can actually see part of the campus up on top of the hill. It's really a beautiful campus. And I would suggest if you are in Granville, drive up and go through the campus because it's really very New England-ishy up there, too. Great, beautiful place. You can meet at the Three Tigers Brewing Company, if you so desire, for craft beers and Vietnamese-inspired street food, or stop at the Village Coffee Company for a two-go cup to enjoy while taking a walk downtown Broadway. And I would recommend walking up and down the street because you do get that New England feel there, and there's a lot of nice little shops up and down the street there. We didn't go quite far enough south, but if you are in Logan and you want to go further south, head down 33 towards Lancaster, toward Nelsonville. Okay. Nelsonville, very near and dear to my heart. My mother's youngest sister taught school there for 40 years.
Okay.
She was a band director for Nelsonville York High School. It is the home of Stewart's Opera House, which will probably be mentioned in this article. But Stewart's was an opera house built in 1879. It sat empty for probably 60 years. In 1997, my aunt and one of her former band students formed a committee to raise money to redo Stewart's Opera House.
Right.
They were successful for doing that. And after sitting vacant for five decades, it was reopened, and
it's
now
a long time.
It was and is now. And I should say, with a brief interlude in the early 2000s, it caught fire.
Oh my!
And burnt out the complete interior, and another community group stepped up and redid the inside.
That's
and
good.
I just went through it about a year or two ago. We were down, actually down in at the Shawnee Forest, which is just outside of Nelsonville. Went in town to find something to eat. Was walking down the street, and these couple of younger people, probably in their 30s, come walking down. And I said, "Excuse me, can you point out someplace good to eat?" And they said, "Well, do you know anything about Nelsonville?" And I said, "Well, I spent a lot of summers here. My aunt was a band director here for 40 years. You're Mary J. McKinley's nephew?" I said, "Yeah." "Oh, she's a legend here."
"Oh, my."
"You got to go to Stewart's Opera House."
"Oh, my."
So anyway, we took our friends, and they gave us a deluxe tour of Stewart's Opera House because of my aunt being there. But a lot of great things there.
Small world, huh?
Small world. Nelsonville was settled in 1814, has a population of around 3,800. The town was shaped by its coal mining past, but has since become a Southeast Ohio art spot, and that's very true. PBS, the PBS station out of Ohio University, WOUB, just did a nice hour presentation on Nelsonville. It was on TV just last week. And there are a lot of great artisans down there, basket weaving, pottery making, glass blowing, all kinds of things like that in town. And then just south of town, if you're heading down towards Nelsonville, is what used to be called a technical school. It is now a college, Hocking College. And you can get a four-year degree there now. Started out with two-year degrees, and now it's morphed into a four-year college. Very much known for its College of Forestry. A lot of forest rangers go there to get their degrees. Talked about the Opera House. The village has a public square, a huge public square. Got an enormous fountain in the middle of it. That's where all the gift shops and places like Mount Mystic, Majestic Galleries, New Leaf Marketplace, all local artists and artisans featuring their work there. It's also the home for Rocky Boots. if you know what Rocky boots are.
No, I don't.
A lot of hunters buy Rocky boots. A lot of people that work in factories, that work in law enforcement, buy Rocky boots because they hold up so well.
Okay.
They were owned by the Brooks family for years and years and years, still owned by the Brooks family. Also make Brooks running shoes. If you're a runner and you wear Brooks running shoes, they would have been made in Nelsonville. But a lot of great things to see there. And you could go on down the road to Athens, the home of Ohio University, the first university founded and established in Ohio after Ohio became a state in 1803.
Okay.
And so I like to tell my Ohio State friends that I graduated from Ohio University, the other college that has Ohio in its name, and we were first.
Okay.
That's Athens, and that's another great place. And that campus is absolutely beautiful. There, right now, their enrollment is about 31,000.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot. When I was the freshman there in 1968, we were about 28, 29,000.
That was still a lot then.
And that's back in the days of the Vietnam War and the riots and all that stuff. Mm. It was a crazy place to be, believe me, in 1968. And I'll leave it at that.
Right.
Yellow Springs. Are you familiar with Yellow Springs?
No, I've heard of it, though.
Yellow Springs. Yellow Springs, town settled in 1825, and there went my phone, which just fell on the floor. I get too excited. Town of around 3,500 residents. It's now a hub for creativity. I'll tell you, Linda, you go to Yellow Springs, you think you are stepping back into the 1967, 68, 69, 66 era. It's like the hippies never died.
Okay.
All up and down the street is all that hippie stuff.
I can relate to that, right?
Oh, hey, our era. All that hippie stuff. It's like the town never changed.
Wow.
It's fabulous. A lot of great shops. You can buy all kinds of tie-dye stuff there.
Mm.
Next time I come, I'll bring my hat that my buddy and I, we bought hats alike down there. But anyway, what's the comedian? Excuse me. Oh, I can't think of his name now. He lives there. He's always on TV. Anyway, the town was shaped by its coal mining past, but has since become a Southeast Ohio art spot. I'm in the wrong place here. Wait a minute. The liberal arts school. Oh, Antioch College is there. Antioch University. When I was getting ready to go to college, Antioch was the choice of two of my friends. Antioch is a very much liberal arts school. Back in the day, and I don't know whether it still is or not, but back in the day, it was what they called a pass and fail college.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't get grades. You either passed or you failed.
Right.
So I asked my buddies that were going there, I said, hey, when you get out of college and you go to apply for a job and they want to see your transcript, what do you show them? I show them my past. Didn't make any sense to me, but that's the way it was. Some of their most famous alumni, Coretta Scott King, went to Antioch. Rod Serling went to Antioch. And the one I'm trying to think of that did not act, I guess he is an alumni there, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, okay.
That's the guy I was trying to think of. Dave Chappelle still lives there. Right. Let's see. Antioch was founded in 1852. It famously has made the small town what it is because of its hippie past and its hippie continuation. The Sunrise Cafe, the Winds Cafe, there are landmark eateries along Xenia Avenue, and the Little Art Theater does a lot of independent, international, and documentary films there. Ye Old Trail Tavern has been pouring drinks since 1827. It is Ohio's oldest still in existence tavern. And this town sits along the Xenia Bike Trail, which actually runs from, let's see where you can pick it up. You can pick it up in Urbana, as far north as Urbana, and it runs all the way into Cincinnati.
Oh,
so if you're a bike enthusiast, you can get on that trail and ride all the way to Cincinnati.
Wow.
And my wife and I have ridden from Urbana all the way down to just past Xenia. home of the Sauerkraut Festival. I can't think of the name of it, but it's a nice trail to ride.
On bicycles.
Okay. Yeah, on bicycles. Yeah, great
wow,
place to go.
Great
place to go. So that's Yellow Springs. What are we doing for time?
We have 2 minutes.
Talk about some place that I think I've already talked about, the Aerial Park down in Mount Vernon, so I won't talk about that one again. But let me talk about the Hartman Rock Garden in Springfield. There's a huge picture of it there. That's part of it right there in that picture. Yeah. As the Great Depression took hold, Ben Hartman began assembling a rock garden masterpiece behind his Springfield home, and this was his home. Built between 1932 and 1939, the art installation reflects American history, Hartman's interest, and plenty of whimsy. The work of art ultimately fell into disrepair until the Kohler Foundation stepped up in 2009 to help fund its revival. That work does continue today, with Hartman Rock Garden's most recent additions, including the restoration, of the original sidewalks and the plantings that reflect his original design vision. It is absolutely gorgeous to tour, and maybe next time I'm here, it will be probably early November, we can talk about some of the arboretums that are around Ohio that are great to see in the spring, and also you can tour those in the fall.
Right.
So we will leave it at that. I will mention again that you need to get your tickets for Dinner with the Presidents, which is coming up on November the 1st. To be
fastly approaching.
Deadline for tickets is the 17th of October, give or take a few days. This year it'll be held down at the Waldo Banquet Center, just south of Waldo. I don't think they call it Waldo Banquet Center, but anyway, that was my quick name without referring to my notes. But this year, be as in the past, we will have a buffet-style dinner with foods, original White House recipe foods taken from the recipe books from the White House, and they'll be featured, the featured speaking presidents that day. So get your tickets now. You can give a buzz to 740-387-4255 or go on MarionHistory.com for more information and buy tickets there.
Thank you, Fred. We are out of time, and thank you so much for listening to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. Have a safe, happy, and blessed weekend, and enjoy the weather. Thank you. Till next time, be blessed.
I am going.